Page E1, the Excel proposal, the second paragraph. The main theme of the first 12 chapter is Apostle Peter and the church in Jerusalem. After the persecution, death of Stephen, persecution of the church become more severe. And Paul was the one of leaders who preached who persecuted the church. After his conversion, he was renamed Paul and had devoted himself to preach the gospel. So in terms of the whole book, if we try to divide the whole book into sections, first you can divide by the workers. The first 12 chapter, the worker was Peter. From chapter 13 to the end of the whole book, the worker was Paul. So you can divide in this way. If we try to divide by the location, the first 12 chapter talk about in Jerusalem, Samaria. And then in the last 13, from chapter 13 onwards, you can see the church from Antioch and then to the end of the world, also divided by the church. And it was in Antioch the believer was first called Christian. Chapter 13 to 10 day recorded the three missionary trip. Of Paul. So the second part is talk about the missionary trip of Paul. These are the main theme of the whole book. So this will help us to understand what the whole book is talking about. The first 12 book is the work of Peter to spread the gospel in the Jewish community. The later part of the book is the work of Paul to spread the gospel all over the world until to the location of Rome. So there are three missionary trips. Point one, Roman character one, the outline of the book. A, development of church in Palestine by Apostle Peter, 1 to 12. B, the Apostle Paul and spreading the church from Antioch to Rome, 13 to 28. And we think the first group of the scripture, chapter 1 to chapter 12, you can see four important points. Chapter 1 to chapter 5, the establishment of church. Then chapter 2, point 2, from chapter 6 to chapter 9, is the church spread to Gentile under persecution. So the first one is establishment in Jerusalem. After the church well established, rooted, and then the church started to spread to Gentile under persecution. Point three, the Acts of Apostle Peter, the beginning of ministry to the Gentile. So after the ministry spread to a certain degree, then the ministry spread to the Gentile from chapter 9 to chapter 12. And then from 13 to 28, we can divide into three parts. The first part is point A, the gospel reached to Phrygia and Galatia. And then the second part, point two, Macedonian call, which means the gospel had been spread to Europe. The first part, the gospel is still confined in the Minor Asia. The second part, the gospel spread to Europe. And the third part, Paul's journey to Rome. Paul's journey to the Rome, that's to the end of the world. So geographically speaking, the later part of the book of Acts can be divided into three parts. in Asia Minor, in Europe, and to the end of the world. So this is the outline of the book, help us to understand what was the whole book is talking about. Now we look into the content of the book. So we are going to go paragraph by paragraph to see what was the content of the whole book. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given a commandment to the apostle whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his resurrection by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days, and speak of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and be assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, he heard from me. Verse 5, and John truly baptized you with water, but shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now. So the first question is, why Jesus has to stay in the world for 40 days after his ascension? After his ascension, he was able to direct it to go back to heaven. Why he has to stay 40 days? This is the first question. The 40 days Jesus spent in the world is to prepare the establishment of the church. Because, point one, the importance of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection paved as the foundation of Christian belief. If Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, then there is no resurrection. I mean, there is no Christianity. Take away the resurrection, there is no Christianity. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talk about if Jesus had no resurrection, right now we all in sin. Why? If Jesus has no resurrection, that means he died in death, in sin. When a person has sin, a person will be confined by death. If Jesus has sin and he cannot resurrect it, anyone who believes Jesus just like Jesus, after you die, you will never resurrect it. If you never resurrect it, then for what you believe in Jesus? You are going to have no eternal life. So if Jesus has no resurrection, there's no Christianity. So the importance of resurrection of Jesus, that gives us a hope of the life to come. That gives us a hope of future resurrection and to inherit the eternal kingdom of God. So that is so important. Jesus had to resurrect from the dead and spend 40 days together with the apostles. Even Paul in 1 Corinthians, I think 15, talk about he witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ. So Jesus appeared to all the apostles for 40 days, eat together with them, appeared to them for several times, and comforted with them, and even performed miracles to them. So to them, Jesus' resurrection is not a legend only. Jesus' resurrection is not because somebody said to them, Jesus' resurrection because they have witnessed Jesus' resurrection. They heard about Jesus' speech after the resurrection. They even touched Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. Oh, so to them, Jesus' resurrection is true, absolutely true. Oh, and this is very important. Since they feel Jesus' resurrection is true, they experience. So when they proclaim the message, they proclaim with confidence. They proclaim with eloquency. They proclaim with power. Because this is undeniable fact, the resurrection of Jesus. So that's the reason Jesus had to spend 40 days in the earth. Point two, Jesus approved the disciples to strengthen their faith. You know, after Jesus was crucified, what happened? All the disciples went back to the older profession. Some of them went back to go for fishing. And they all scattering around. How can this group of apostle faith been strengthened? If you look into the biblical account, right? Mark chapter 16 says many disciples were in unbelief. Oh, right. So mighty Jesus Christ had been crucified right now, buried on the tomb, and all of a sudden the body will disappear. So they were in unbelief. Okay. So Jesus resurrected to them in Luke chapter 24. Jesus first to revive the faith of the two disciples who want to move into Emmaus, Emmanuel's. And Jesus walked with them and talked to them and eventually opened their eye and they saw the resurrected Jesus. They feel when Jesus was talking with them, their heart was warm. So at that very night, they even stay one night. In that very night, they return to Jerusalem. Okay. So Jesus resurrected to strengthen the weak and to interpret the Bible. Point B, to show the nailed scar, especially the dog Thomas, say, unless I see Jesus by myself, I touch the print of Jesus crucified, the nail print, the hole of the nail, I am not going to believe. So Jesus appeared to Thomas again and said, come, use your finger to touch the nail scar. At that time, Thomas cried, my God, my Lord. And then after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus made them to catch 153 fish. So from this experience, they understood Jesus cared about their life because they were all hungry. And they knew that Jesus still had mighty power to perform miracle, to feed them. Okay. This is the first reason of Jesus' resurrection, spent 40 days with them to strengthen their faith. The second one, to entrusting the mission. So all nations may believe in Jesus. For those who believe and baptize will be saved. So Jesus commanded them to go all over the world to spread the good news, to have an evangelical outreach. This is the first commission mentioned in Mark chapter 16. The second commission to Peter. He asked Peter one question three times. Do you love me? When Peter answered yes, and Jesus said, you take care of my sheep. What does that mean, take care of my sheep? Pastoral work. So the evangelical outreach is to increase the multitude. The pastoring work is to increase the quality. So one is to increase the quantity, other one is to increase the improve the quality of the members. So these are the two commissions entrusted by Jesus Christ to his apostles. So the two missions of the church is the same. Increase quantity and enhance the quality. If all the church members are very good, very spiritual, and like the members in the Acts chapter 2, all right, loving each other and enjoy good time together, but the church never do the evangelical outreach. after 10 years, 20 years, still the same number. It's good, but it's not too good. But on the other hand, if the church spread very fast, all of a sudden you have thousands of members convert to the church in the United States. But you look into their lifestyle, it's no different from the non-believer. It's good to have so many new converts, but their quality is very low. No spirituality. Oh, that's no good. So on the one hand, we have to increase the quantity. On the other hand, we have to enhance the quality. And that has to go through the commission of spreading the gospel and the commission of tendering the sheep. So this is the second purpose of spending 40 days with the apostles. Point four, the descent of the great authority. Before Jesus' ascension, he promised that the disciple will be enclosed from power above. And the power above come to them through the Holy Spirit. Oh. And this Holy Spirit will give them power to forgive and power to retain the sins. Oh. John chapter 20, verse 23. John chapter 20, verse 23. 22, start from 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. 23. If you give the sin of any, they are forgiven then. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained. 22 is a promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. It did not say they already received Holy Spirit in that right moment. If they receive Holy Spirit in that right moment, then in Acts chapter 1, there is no need for the apostle to pray for Holy Spirit. There is no need for Jesus Christ to remind them to wait the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. So 22 was a promise of the Holy Spirit. And for what they need to receive the Holy Spirit? 23, to forgive the sin and to retain the sin. How can the apostle forgive other people's sin? Through the water baptism. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, so the water have the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away the sin of the convert. And how can the apostle retain the sin? You see the example of Ananias, all right? They cheat the Holy Spirit, and Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit, and then proclaim the justice of God, and Ananias died, and later on his wife died because the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, the church has the power of retaining the sin. What does that mean? When a person commit mortal sin and become a yeast, and the church can council can convene a meeting and discuss about the nature of the sin committed and the effect of the sin to the church. If it really become a yeast, then this person has to be excommunicated. Whatever we decide according to the movement of the Holy Spirit, that will be effective in the eyes of God. Their sin will be retained. So if we don't have Holy Spirit, we have no way to forgive other people's sin. We have no way to retain other people's sin. Forgive other people's sin is the mercy of God. Retain other people's sin is the justice of God. So the Holy Spirit walking in the church try to exercise the two characteristics of God. One is mercy, other one is justice. And without Holy Spirit, the church cannot really have a love of God to forgive people and have no way to exercise the justice. And without exercising the justice, sin will prevail. So nowadays, the church has no power. The most ordinary church has no power. You see, a lot of members, they live in adultery. Sin prevails in the church, but there is no power. No power to control the sin, no power to retain the sin. So this is an important reason. Number five, to give a living hope. So in Acts chapter 1, they witness Jesus ascend to heaven, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And you can recall in John chapter 14, what did Jesus say? I went to my Father's place to prepare many places for you. I am the way, I'm the truth. I'm the life. Unless you go by me, you cannot go back to Father. There's only one way you can return to the Father. Is it by Jesus Christ. So when Jesus ascended to heaven, that way to give them hope, he already go to Father. He prepared us a place, and he is going to come back to accept us back there. So point B, the power to forgive and to retain the sins. Five, A, ascension, B. The second coming. So Jesus Christ say, chapter 1, verse 10. Acts chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in a white apparel. 11. And who say, Man, Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heaven? The same Jesus whom was taken up from into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So this is give us a hope. Jesus will come again. Or will come back to the earth. And the second time Jesus come back is for redemption. Is the end of the world. So there are five reasons why Jesus spent 40 days in the world. Four reasons. Strengthen the faith and trust the mission and promise of the Holy Spirit and give a living hope. Now, the descent of the Holy Spirit from chapter 1, verse 12 to 14 and chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. Number 1. The prayer of 120 members, according to the promise of God. And these 120 members actually was the core member of the apostolic church, the core member. You know, when you move to somewhere, you need to have a core member to develop the ministry there. But if any house of prayer or any church want to be strong, at least that house of prayer and church needs to three family. If you can find out three very fervent family, very rooted family, and that house of prayer will be very strong. Also, anywhere, if there is a church, there must have some core members. So apostolic church, before they were the church was established, there was 100 members serve as a core member. And if you carefully analyze who are the 120 members, the 120 members are the motivating force, prime mover of the apostolic church. A motivating force of the holy work. The first one is the apostle, the one who has the status and the one who know their responsibility, because responsibility comes from status. If we know the status, we fail to bear the responsibility, we are unfaithful worker. But if we don't know the status, our own status, quite often we don't know our responsibility. So the 12 apostles understood the entrustment of God, so they prayed very hard for the Holy Spirit, because that was the only one way they were able to fulfill God's entrustment by the power of God. The second person is several women. The several women referring to those who received the grace of God. In Luke chapter 8, they talk about the Mary of Magdalene. You know, in her, there was how many demons? There were seven demons, right? And the life was totally ruined. Do you know? even one demon in your body, your life will be totally different. Oh, if there is one person abnormal, the whole family life will be abnormal. But the Mary of Magdalene received the grace of God. The demon was casting out. So from that day on, she followed Jesus Christ to serve Jesus Christ, to provide Jesus Christ with whatever he needs. So after Jesus' ascension, several women, those who received the grace of God, out of a heart of gratitude, they want to do something to repay the grace of God. So they join these 120 people to become the core member, try to develop God's ministry according to God's promise. And the third person is Jesus' mother and brother who knew him very much. According to Luke chapter 1, Jesus' mother knew the baby she conceived is from Holy Spirit, is from God himself, because the angel told him, you are going to conceive the baby, and this baby will be the Messiah, the Savior. So who should be the co-member of the church development? And those who know God. If you know God, you will know the value of serving God. The reason members are lukewarm of serving God, because they don't know God. You consider being called by president to serve as a cabinet member. You consider a great honor, right? But how about God call you to become his ambassador, to preach his gospel? That even far more honorable than a cabinet member of the president. So the reason we fail to understand the noble status of serving God, because we fail to understand God himself. So these three group of people gathered together, 100 members, the motivating force of the holy work. So what did they do? They are praying for the Holy Spirit. That was the first step to spread the holy work, to pray for the Holy Spirit and to pray for the fullness of Holy Spirit, so we can all, inspired by the Holy Spirit, lead by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so the ministry will have major breakthrough. So they pray with one mind. What does one mind mean? One hope focus. Pray for the downpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray with one mind, also referring to they are all agreed with each other. There's no dispute, and there was no disharmony. And they pray constantly for about 10 days. So today, what should we do to promote the local church ministry? There's nothing new. Everything already in the Bible. Do you believe? If you believe, do you want to follow? That's all. If you invent something new out of the Bible, and you lead the church become very prosperous, and that is not TJC. That is not the apostolic church. If you want to build a true TJC, true apostolic church, you have to come back to the Bible, follow the teaching of the Bible. If the church cannot grow, we have to ask God, open my eyes so that I can understand your principle to develop your church. If the church cannot grow, don't go to other church. Try to borrow experience from other church. That's no good. Do you know? Other church is not true Jesus church. If you borrow the principle from the other church, you develop a church very prosperous, and that church is not true Jesus church. If you want to develop true Jesus church, only way is return to the Bible and follow the principle of the Bible. That is the only one way we can do. If we cannot follow the principle in the Bible, we cannot develop a true church. So the first one thing we should do to develop God's ministry is what? Everybody pray together. I know some of the church, the youth, have a heart of helping God to develop ministry. But the point is, nobody wants to pray. When you talk about youth ministry, we want to do that. Let's start from the bottom line. Bottom line is to kneel down and pray. Next Sabbath, come, pray at 10:20 to 10:50. Nobody come. Right? Only a few come. Even the service time, 11, some come 11:20, 11:30. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have to start have service, one third. After him singing for a long time and pray, two third. After end of service, three third. How can you develop the ministry of God? If you really serious, want to develop ministry or youth ministry or English speaking ministry, start from the bottom line. Everybody come. Pray. Pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Pray until you are filled by the love of God. Pray until you are moved by the Holy Spirit. Pray until you have the heart of submission. And start from there. You're going to see God guide you miraculously. So in the church, there's no need for personal struggle against anybody. If we really pray for the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, everybody see the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Everybody is going to be very submissive. Oh, but without praying for the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, a group of people keep on discussing this and that. Everybody have every opinion. And you can find out you have a good heart, but you cause a lot of chaotic situation for the church. Do you know? So we have to learn from the fundamental, something fundamental, how the apostle developed the TJC. They developed the TJC from the prayer. 120 people start from prayer. Without prayer, you have a grand planning. That planning is nothing but a piece of paper. Do you know? Without prayer, you try to take action. That action is not cannot achieve anything. Because without power, how can you do anything for God? So anyone who don't want to pray and want to take action for God and want to promote this and promote that in the spiritual eyes of God is proud. How come? How come it's proud? Because you don't want to rely on God and you want to do something for God. For what? By what you can do something for God without the power of God? Are you going to use your social background? Are you going to use your education level? Are you going to use your eloquency? Are you going to use your personal capability to do something for God? It's impossible to develop the kingdom of God without God's power. So anything who want to do something for God without spending time to pray in the bottom of heart is not humble enough. Because you still try to rely on yourself to do something. If you try to rely on yourself, that means you think you are something. You think you are something, in the eyes of God, you are nothing. Only you think you are nothing, I'm worthless, then you will humble yourself to pray hard. Then in the eyes of God, you can be something. Because God wants to use you like a vessel. So when you look in the local church, a lot of people want to do this and do that. Nobody wants to pray. What kind of church it is? They did not come back to Acts chapter 1 yet. If you want to start your local church, start from Acts chapter 1. Some of the members, they like the church to grow and criticize that. They still not learn a secret yet. If you really want the church to grow, come back to Acts chapter 1. Speak this, do more, pray more. That is the secret. So 120 people. Point two, the experience of Pentecost. Pentecost is a feast of first grand, according to Leviticus. And Jesus was nailed on the day of Passover. In the Pentecost, it's the downpouring of the Holy Spirit. Point B, the prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So in the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit moved them, so they start to deliver a mighty message for God. Point C, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One, like a wind and like a fire. Like a wind and like a fire. Do you know? The gospel is like what? The gospel is like a seed. Like a seed, right? And if this seed been blown by heavy wind, what is going to happen? The seed will flow everywhere. And gospel like a what? The words of God like a fire. If the fire blow by the wind, the fire is going to fly everywhere. So when we visit mainland China, we see very miracle. It's a lot of miraculous way to spread the gospel. Right? We have TJC church there. And some of the villagers sick and come and pray, receive the healing. And this sick person went back to their homeland, maybe two, three provinces away. Oh. And then preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach the villager to pray. And they receive the Holy Spirit, they receive the power, they experience the mighty miracle happen, and another TJC was established in that village. So simple. Oh. In Africa, the same. How come Africa, the gospel spread so fast? Because those who receive the gospel experience the grace of God. They go back to their homeland and tell people how to pray to receive the Holy Spirit, to experience the grace of God. And then the ministry was established so fast. Oh, because the Holy Spirit like a wind. Can you control the wind? No one can control the wind. So can you control the work of the Holy Spirit? Nobody can control. Can you predict the wind? You cannot predict the wind. Can you predict the work of Holy Spirit? You cannot predict the work of Holy Spirit because wind blow everywhere. Oh, so God has his own will. Oh, today, you look into the book of Acts. While Philip performed mighty miracle in Philip, performed mighty miracle. Huh? And that on, he was moved by the Holy Spirit and go into Samaria. Huh? Samaria. Philip performed mighty miracle in Samaria. He was moved by the Holy Spirit and go into the wilderness. Do you know wilderness has nothing, right? Today, the Holy Spirit moved you to the wilderness from here to Las Vegas. Right? From here to Las Vegas, a lot of jungle there. Not jungle, wilderness, right? Nobody there live in there. If the Holy Spirit moved you to drive 2 hours in there, you are going to ask yourself, is that truly Holy Spirit moved me? Right? Because nobody there. Here is a member here. Here is a work of here. How come I go there? So when Philip was moved by the Holy Spirit, go to the wilderness, he just followed. And in there, he met Antioch, Ethiopia, the eunuch of Ethiopia. So it was a guidance of the Holy Spirit, like a wind, And Holy Spirit is like a fire. Will cleanse our iniquity, our cleanse, burn out our own filthiness. So the church will keep the church holy. Everybody being burned by the Holy Spirit. All the theology dirty have been burned out already. So pour out outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what they experienced in the day of Pentecost. Page E3. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongue. What does speaking in tongue means? That means the voice comes from the roaring of your tongues. Unknown language. According to 1 Corinthians 12, it's an unknown language. Chapter 2, verse 6. Look into Acts chapter 2, verse 6. And when this song occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So there's a difficulty here. The Bible clearly says when they receive Holy Spirit, everyone heard them speak in their own language. How come we receiving Holy Spirit here, everybody pray and nobody understand, right? We have to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. If you read Acts chapter 14, talk about Holy Spirit, what does they say? Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue is speak to God, not to man. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Even so, since you are jealous for spiritual gift, verse 2, chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. No one understands him. So it is obvious when you speak in tongue, Acts chapter 2 says, speak in tongue, no one understands him. But how come the Acts chapter 2 talk about they hear that they speak their own language? Oh, so it's a miracle. When you pray, Holy Spirit move you and your tongue rolling, you speak a unknown language, right? This is a language you communicate with God. But if God opens the other people's ear, they were able to understand whatever you speak in their own language. They were able to do so. So they speak a unknown language, but God opened your ear, you were able to understand it. So that was the reason a lot of people here, when they hear, they understand it. They are praising God. However, for some people, God did not open their heart. So they feel they get drunk. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, that this belong to you and heed my words. 12. For these are not drunk, as you supposed, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter tried to explain to them, they are not drunk. They receive Holy Spirit according to the promise in the prophet of Joel. Drunk means what? When you're drunk, you speak something murmuring. Nobody can understand what you're speaking. Right? Besides, when 120 people pray together, the people who stand outside can never understand what you are talking about. We have almost 120 people here, right? In the evening prayer. Even after the prayer, you go there and have a dessert, right? If 120 people all talk aloud there, and you stand on the parking lot, can you hear anything they are talking? You cannot. Because 100 people, when they talk each other, all the voice mixed together will become a noise. And when you stand far away from them, you only heard a noise. You cannot understand what they are talking about. And how come a lot of people will understand they are praising God? Because God opened their ear. Not because they speak some foreign language, but God opened their ears. But so some, we in our church, we have some real example. Pray. Some people pray for others. All of a sudden, God opened the ear. He listened, the sister was praising God. And he heard that the sister were asking God for help. This kind of thing happened. One day I was in Nigeria in one of the church to pray. And I heard a boy about 6 or 7 years old. When he prayed, he kept on praising God, saying, Oh Lord, you say you love me. I remember, I heard very clearly, he spoke English. Oh Lord, you say you love me, right? And after a prayer, I asked a boy with English, what were you talking about? The boy did not understand English. So the minister interpreted for me and said the boy did not receive education and did not understand English. But he was speaking English. I heard he was speaking English. But I asked somebody, knelt down beside the boy, did you hear he's speaking in English? He said, no. But I hear he's speaking English. Oh Lord, you say you love me. So in the church, this did happen. This happened. Everybody pray, speak in tongue, right? And all of a sudden, we can open our ear. You can understand what they are talking about. Okay, now let's continue. page E3, right? B2. Appear to be full of new wine. Just like getting drunk. You speak murmuring, a non-language. C. Can be seen and hear. So chapter 2, verse 33, Peter explained the experience of receiving Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 33. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. What do I mean, see and hear? Holy Spirit is invisible. How come you can see? Because Holy Spirit is like a wind. You cannot see wind, but when the wind blow on the branches, you can see the leaves is moving. When the leaves is moving, you know there is a wind. So when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, everybody, your body is trembling, is shaking. Through this kind of experience, we know the Holy Spirit moved the person. And you can hear because the person is speaking in tongue. So fire like a tongue. So when your tongue moving like the flame of the candle, keep on moving like a flame of candle, you speaking in tongue, then you receive the Holy Spirit. So in these few days, we did see some of you receiving the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit descend on you, your heart will be like a fire burning. Originally you're cold. Right now, after you receive Holy Spirit, you become more and more zeal. Have more zeal. Have more fervent. After fire burning, you become more pure. Once you become pure, you feel more peaceful. You become more joyful. Because you've been burned by the fire. D. The disciple received the power from above. According to the promise. How do we know that they receive power from above? There are two ways. The first way is Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When Peter delivered sermon, everybody feel just like a two-edged sword cut into their heart. How come the words of God like a sword cut into their heart? Because of power of God. So there is a power of God, the words of God become the sword, very effective sword. The second way, we know the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that in chapter 2, verse 43, they perform a lot of miracles. That's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then 44, the transformation of the life. They share everything in common. 45, they even sell their property and bring everything to church. Without the power of God, it's impossible to transform a person. So they receive the Holy Spirit, receive the power to preach, to perform miracle, to transform every individual to live a new life. So this is point B, the descent of the Holy Spirit. And point C onwards, we are going to see the establishment of the church. Before we go into that, in chapter 1, you can see once God promised them, one, the power from above. The second, they choose one to succeed Judas, right? This is a manpower. And the end of chapter 2, you see they contribute the money to the church. That's financial power. So in order to develop church, we need God's power, manpower, financial power. And where comes the manpower and financial power? They all come from God's power. If God is working in the church and move everybody, a lot of people is waiting to come out and sacrifice them to serve God. If God's Spirit move everybody's heart, a lot of people will be waiting to contribute the money. So if a church cannot find anybody waiting to sacrifice to serve, if the church is in short of money, why? Because the church has no power of God. So the fundamental way to have more manpower, to have more financial power, is not only through encouragement. Yes, you can encourage, but the encouragement, if there is no power of God, they listen, they know it, but they take no action. But if there is a word of the power of God, there will be a difference. So the fundamental way to develop a church is to receive the power from above, from the Holy Spirit. The fundamental way to jumpstart a fallen church is through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fervent prayer of the members. So from here, we understand what should we do when you go back to the local church. Let's pray in silence.